You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. It's 7:35 and Brian O'Nunoyne joins us once again. This week he looks at the post-presidential contributions of past presidents and wonders what will our current president do when he leaves the Oval Office.
And a very good morning to you all. So, I read the other day that Silvio Berlusconi is now being interviewed because of his links to the mafia. I was going to explain that Silvio Berlusconi, of course, was the former Prime Minister of Italy, but I figured you knew that. Oh, it must be slightly embarrassing now to be Italian. Yes, your food and your wine is fantastic, but your president is linked to the mafia, and you've had 60 national governments since the Second World War. That's more than some people will change their underwear. Whatever else you may think of Obama, however, he is no Berlusconi. So at least, that's something to be grateful for. Which brings me to the subject of the noble office. This is where you end up after you've left the Oval Office. This is the position you occupy once you have fulfilled your obligations to the nation. You are really no longer obliged to do anything because you can pretty much do whatever you want. Assuming, of course, that it's legal and decent. And this is where it gets interesting for me, because is it possible to argue the underlying character of the modern president is revealed, is truly revealed, once they leave the office and end up in the noble office? Because now, after all, when you get up in the morning, you can say to yourself, okay, what do I want to do today? What should I do today? And in fairness to President Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, they have both spent a heck of a lot of their personal time and energy devoting themselves to public service after they left the White House. So I'm inclined to believe that now that they are in the noble office and acting as if they were still public servants, I'm thinking, well, when they were in the Oval Office, they probably acted in large part for the common good. They had the best interests of the nation at heart. Of course, that's not to say that other presidents, who are not and were not so actively engaged in public service once they left the Oval Office, that they simply acted to further their own personal interests while they were president. I'm not saying that at all. But I would say this, that when it comes to giving someone the benefit of the doubt while they were president, I would be inclined to look more favourably on those who act now in the public interest, even though they don't have to. Because let's face it, if you're no longer the President of the United States, you now have the opportunity to really do something for the public well-being, if that is within your basic nature and character. Whether this be, like, you know, in terms of national good or international good, in social, cultural or economic programmes. So, I admire Clinton and Carter for being heavily involved in the pursuit of the public well-being. And it only remains of me to ask you, what do you think Barack Obama will be doing in, say, 10 or 20 years from now? Do you think he'll be in the limelight for painting portraits? Or perhaps he'll be working in some inner-city initiative to help improve literacy standards? And what will his choice of activity say of his underlying character and his motivation as a man and as a politician? All right, have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
That was Brian O'Nunoyne, who teaches a class called Ireland Here We Come and takes people on a trip around Ireland every year. He also teaches a class called Scotland, Highlands, Islands, and Glens, and is conducting a tour of Scotland in the summer of 2014. You can contact Brian by email at brian@redriverradio.org.